Before the preaching, let's read together a supporting passage to the sermon that will be preached today. And this passage is 1 Peter and chapter 5, verse 7. It reads as follows in the NIV: "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We are now going to read the Bible text for this morning. That is this morning's preaching. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. We'll read those first seven verses for the sake of context, but we'll really concentrate on the last two verses, that's 6 and 7. So, Philippians and chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. This is how it reads in the NIV. "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As one reads through those verses, particularly the last two verses that I read, it is not difficult to see what they are talking about. They are essentially concerned about anxiety and how to deal with it. Listen to the words again. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The title for this morning's sermon is "The Antidote to Being Anxious." The antidote to being anxious. In other words, what is it that can prevent being worried or being anxious or anxiety? The NIV uses the word anxious. "Do not be anxious about anything," it says. And this is how someone has tried to define or explain anxiety. Anxiety is the inner feeling of apprehension, discomfort, and uneasiness whereby one is worried or is fretting, that is continuously worrying, or becomes unduly concerned and may even be fearful. It might also be accompanied by physical or physiological responses such as sweating. That is how someone has tried to explain anxiety. And of course, you see in that explanation that it is actually about being unduly concerned. And there's a thin dividing line between being concerned about something, about someone, about some issue, and being unduly concerned. It's good, it's all right, it's acceptable to be concerned about something that is not good, that is not right, that is not acceptable. But it becomes something that is not desirable when we become unduly concerned. In other words, when our concern goes into the negative, goes into something that becomes unhealthy. May I mention that throughout this sermon, I'll be using anxiety and worry interchangeably. Let me say that throughout human history, man has always been surrounded by circumstances and situations, some of which have brought about anxiety or worry. In Paul's time, this was the case. And no wonder he writes to the Philippians the way that he does. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, our time, our own time, is no exception. We have anxious and worried minds, and perhaps even faces all around us. Even as I speak, perhaps we ourselves might be anxious, might be experiencing anxiety, or maybe actually worried for one reason or another. As I said, there's a thin dividing line between being concerned and being worried or being anxious. And when we cross that line from being concerned to being unduly concerned or to being worried or to being anxious, then we must see ourselves as being in troubled waters. There are a lot of things that can trigger anxiety. For some, anxiety might arise from intrapersonal situations or conflicts. In other words, the sort of conflicts that are inward, that are internal, that are within us, which may result perhaps from the way that we perceive ourselves or from the way that we think other people perceive us. And if we think of ourselves in negative terms, or if we think other people perceive of us in negative terms, and we dwell on that, that can be a cause for worry or for anxiety. For instance, if we think we should be short when we are tall, or we should be tall when we are short, if we think we are small, we think we are too big, if we think that our noses are not the right sizes, if we think our ears perhaps are not the way they're supposed to be, perhaps they spread outwardly, unlike some other people's ears, and perhaps we wanted the kind of ears that do not spread outwardly. These things can be a cause for anxiety, a cause for worry. And unfortunately, if they are, and they have to do with things that we cannot change about ourselves, it means that we'll be a constantly worrying people, a constantly anxious people. It might even be something that will carry right through our whole lifetime. For some, it may be the kind of conflicts that arise from personal relationships or interpersonal relationships. For instance, we have a difference with someone and we don't really know how to handle it. And maybe something that is very, very hard, very, very tricky. Maybe something that has upset them or something that has upset us. Maybe we want to sort it out, but we don't know exactly how. And then we tend towards worrying. How will I deal with this so that that person understands? How am I going to face that person looking at the way that they have treated me? for boys and girls, and I'm sure that there are boys and girls who are listening, it may be because of the relationship that you have with your sibling, your brother or your sister. Maybe you don't get on well. Maybe you constantly fight. And this thing is beginning to bother you, and you are asking yourself the question, why does my sister, my brother, always seek a quarrel with me? Why doesn't my brother understand me? Why does she or he always want to fight? That can be a cause for worry. Worry can also be because of specific dangers or threats which may be real or unknown. The fear of the unknown. Dangers or threats to one's livelihood. Where will the income come from? Perhaps dangers with regard to one's life. Perhaps a disease that is terminal. Perhaps is COVID-19. Will I catch it? What if I do catch it? What is going to happen? Am I going to survive? Do we have enough ventilators in this country in case it gets worse with me? And so even before we catch it, we start worrying about what will happen once we catch it. As I said, it could be because of a terminal illness. What if I die soon? What's going to happen to my children, to my spouse, to my relatives? Who is going to take care of my children? Or it might even be while we are still alive and we are asking the question, why are my children not obeying me? I wonder what will happen to my children when they become teenagers or when they get married. I wonder whether they will marry the right spouses. I wonder whether they will get married to the kind of spouses that will make them happy, that will make the marriage happy. So even before perhaps our children marry, we are already worried about what is going to happen when they get married. We all have the potential to become champions at worry, even about things we really have no control over. Well, what is the antidote to worrying, to being anxious, even to fretting, which is constantly worrying? Paul provides the solution as he writes to the Philippians. In doing so, he first acknowledges the reality of worry or anxiety. He acknowledges that worrying is real, that being anxious is real. He acknowledges that it happens, and in acknowledging it, he's really saying, this has been my experience also. Worrying or being anxious is real. The very fact that he writes, exhorting them not to be anxious, suggests the potential for them to worry, for them to be anxious. In other words, worry does exist. It is there among Christians. It is there especially so among non-Christians, though it's supposed to be less, of course, among Christians. We have already seen that there are many situations in this life that have a potential to trigger worry. Paul says in this passage, in this text that we have read, none of them, no single situation or circumstance must lead to worrying or to being anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Or, other versions would say, in nothing be anxious. For the Philippians, perhaps they could have been anxious because of Paul's prison situation. They could have been anxious, they certainly were, when they had heard that Epaphroditus had been sick. They could also have been anxious because of the sour interpersonal relationship between two of the leading ladies or women in the church at Philippi, Euodia and Syntyche. The relationship between these two could have caused them to begin getting worried These are people who are significant, who are standing in this church, who are fellow ministers with Paul. And this is what is happening to them. I wonder whether this will lead to division in the church. I wonder whether this is going to lead to difficulties in the church. I wonder whether there is going to be part spirit in the church. Some people perhaps saying we are for Syntyche, others saying we are for Euodia. Perhaps some of the Philippian believers could have been worrying about that. So it could be something they thought could affect the entire church. And so Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, whether big or small, just anything, no exception whatsoever. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6? He says, do not worry. And then he goes on to mention what things the people of God are not supposed to worry about. Do not worry about your life, even life itself. Do not worry about your food, the food that you eat, about your body, the clothes that you wear. Do not worry about these things. Do not even worry about tomorrow. You are not even yet there. Why are you worried about tomorrow? Much less, why should you be worried even about today? So what Paul is saying is essentially what the Lord Jesus Christ, his master, had already said. Do not worry. Instead, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And what he's instructing them here in Philippians chapter 4 is one way of saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Be rightly related to God first. Seek him in prayer. Seek him and praise him and thank him. Anxiety, friends, is real. And Paul acknowledges this by stating that it is to be avoided altogether. But secondly, he states the antidote to anxiety. He goes on to state the antidote to anxiety. In other words, he provides a solution. If anxiety, if worry is real, if it's an experience that human beings do have, including Christians, and if it's a bad experience, if it's a fruitless experience, as Jesus puts it, you remember what he says, which one of you by worrying will add a single day to his life? In other words, you can worry and worry and worry about your life. It will still remain the same. You are not going to add a single day to your life. In other words, it's a fruitless exercise. It's an unfruitful exercise. And so Paul provides a solution, a time-tested, validated antidote. And this solution he gives us in these verses. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, or present your requests to God. So as far as it's concerned, prayer, petition mingled with thanksgiving are enough to deal with worry, to deal with anxiety. I wonder whether that is our experience. I wonder whether that is our true experience when we've tried to handle worry. That we have prayed to God, that we have petitioned him, that we have engaged in thanksgiving to his name. If we have we experienced what he later mentions in verse 7? Notice that the solution that he prescribes encompasses everything. He says, in everything, let your requests be made known to God, or present your requests to God. In other words, everything and anything that has the potential to trigger worry, to trigger anxiety, bring it before the Lord. And he's not saying we should only limit our prayers, our petitions, to only those things that worry us. That's why he includes thanksgiving, because that necessarily is going to engage us into involving in praying and giving thanks for different kinds of things. In prayers, petitions, with thanksgiving. In other words, let's make our requests to God in the form of ordinary prayers, ordinary asking, in the form of petitions, in the form of asking God intently, asking God, imploring him, entreating him, pleading with him, as it were, to deal with whatever is causing the anxiety. And he says all this is to be mingled with joyful thanksgiving. Why do I say joyful? Because if you look at verse 4, he actually says, rejoice in the Lord always. And it's shortly after this that he's going to talk about do not worry. Shortly after that, he talks about the Lord is near. In other words, rejoice because the Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, this is what you ought to do. Do not worry. And how best are you not going to worry? Offer your requests that are causing you to worry to God, and do so in petitions and prayers with thanksgiving. Remember the triad of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's the same message given to the Thessalonians. The same message. Be joyful always. He brings it in that context in verse 4. Give thanks. He mentions it in our text. In all circumstances, for that matter, pray continually. Well, because of the nature of worrying, the nature of the circumstances that we are faced with from time to time, we will find ourselves praying continually. Because often life is such that one thing after the other comes into our lives, which sometimes is negative. I would imagine that there's no single human being who throughout an entire 24 hours will not be faced with a situation that could have triggered some kind of worry, to, of course, differing degrees. And because of that, we are exhorted to pray continually. We're exhorted to pray. We're exhorted to be joyful. We're exhorted to give thanks. Notice also that when we pray, we are actually praying to God. We are not praying to ourselves. We are not praying to angels. We are not praying to the apostles. We are praying to God. We are praying to God because he's the source of peace. We are praying to God, as I said, because he's the source of peace. Notice, as I've said, that in verse 6, the prayers, petitions with thanksgiving are to be presented to God and not to ourselves. There's a difference between praying and worrying. In praying, we are focused on God. In worrying, we are basically focused on ourselves. We are talking about, we are thinking about, we are imagining our problems. It's essential about ourselves. We are discussing our problems with ourselves. God is not in the picture. When we pray, we are focused on God. So in a sense, as I've said already, worrying, anxiety is not just a fruitless or an unfruitful exercise, but it's also a demonstration of the fact that we are not trusting God enough. God is not in the picture, so we are worrying about our problems. We are focusing our minds on our problems. God is not in the picture. It's our problems in the picture. It's also a form of idolatry because God is in the picture. It's really about us and our problems. So when we worry or are tempted to worry, let us direct everything to God with thanksgiving. Anything and everything that is unpleasant or has a potential for unpleasantness ought to be turned into and is an opportunity for prayer, petition with thanksgiving. In this way, we acknowledge that God is on the throne, that he knows and he cares, that we know him and look to him for everything, that he's a God who is near, as we can see in chapter 4, verse 5b of Philippians. So then, Paul does acknowledge the reality of anxiety or worry, and then goes on to provide the antidote, prayer, petition with thanksgiving to God. What are the results? What should we expect if we approach anxiety and worry in this way? Paul provides God's answer. When we pray in this way, notice first of all in verse 7 of our text, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Please observe that Paul does not say, and God will take away those situations or circumstances in your life that are causing you to worry. That's not what it says. Paul says, and the peace of God. Paul says, and a guaranteed and immediate response from God when we pray this way, when we approach worry this way, is that he floods us with his peace. And I say flooding because of the nature of the wording that we see in that passage. And the peace of God which transcends, which not even the one experiencing it will understand. It means that the experience of this peace will come with it in a way that overwhelms us, in a way that floods our souls. So that's God's immediate response. When we are anxious or worried, he floods us with his peace. He does not necessarily remove the circumstances that are causing the worry. Sometimes he may. But one thing is guaranteed. He gives us his peace. When we pray this way, God guarantees and gives his peace. It is his peace, notice what the Bible says. And the peace of God. So this is peace that is not manufactured from this earth, from the United Nations, or from any other body, or from any other individual. It is the peace of God. It comes from heaven itself. It is this peace that he gives us. It is this peace that he gives to our souls. This is God's peace because it comes from him. And you notice as Paul starts this letter in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, grace and peace to you from God. It comes from God. So if we are going to seek peace, we must seek it from God. We will not find it if we seek it anywhere else. Certainly, it will not be lasting. And it will not be real peace. We might seek peace when we are troubled, when we are worried, when we are anxious, in all kinds of things, perhaps in pleasure, perhaps in hobbies, perhaps in certain practices, beer drinking, for instance, to drown our sorrows. It does not work. The peace that works is that peace that comes from God because it is his. And in the wording in this text, it is beyond comprehension. It transcends all understanding. I believe by this it means that Not even the one experiencing it fully understands it. Not even the world will understand it. Not even Satan understands it. Not even the apostles themselves understood it. Not even the angels understand it. Why? The peace of God that transcends all understanding. Only God, who is its source, and Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, gives it, and the Holy Spirit, who works it in the believer's heart, for it is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Only the Godhead understand this peace. You and I cannot, will not, will never. It's God's peace. And this is the peace that God promises through the Apostle Paul. He will give to those who are fearful, who are worried for one reason or another. We see this peace experienced by the Lord Jesus himself, the Prince of Peace, in the Garden of Gethsemane at his betrayal. We see him experiencing it on the cross as he hangs there. He's not troubled. That's why in the end he peacefully lays down his life. We see it experienced by people like Stephen. He's being stoned, but his eyes, his mind is all about heaven. He says, "And I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." We see this peace being experienced by Paul at Philippi in Acts chapter 17, together with Silas. They are in stocks in a prison cell. You'd expect them to start worrying and complaining and wondering what is happening to them, what's going to happen to the gospel. No, we are told they began singing hymns. Only a heart at peace can respond that way to such circumstances. We see this experience by a man called Joseph Miller Chapman, a pastor and preacher in England, who, while lying on his deathbed in 1841, was able to say, "Christ is all is well." Just 2 hours before his death, as he looked at life, as he looked at himself, as he looked at the fact that he was dying, "Christ is all, and all is well." It is well with him. It was well with him. That's why Spafford could sing, pen down that song, and we sing it, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul." Having lost his two children, he could pen down that song. Why? It's the peace of God. We see it experienced by a young man called Hedley Vickers, a soldier in the British Army, who in the Crimean War, as he was dying at the battlefront, lying, dying, was able to say, "The Lord has kept me in perfect peace and made me glad with the light of his countenance." What a way of dying, full of peace within. Well, dear friends, this is the peace that God promises through the Apostle Paul to all those who will come to him and petition him and pray to him with thanksgiving as they unburden themselves on him with all that is causing them to worry and to be anxious and to be fearful. What are the implications for you and me? We too can experience victory over worry, over fear, over anxiety, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And this victory will come in the sense of us experiencing his peace. The Lord has promised peace to those that are his. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." He has promised. It was not just for the apostles, the disciples of the time. It was for all those who belong to him, all those who are his children. So we can experience this peace regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what is causing us to be worried, to be anxious, whether it's to do issues to do with money, issues to do with family life, issues to do with the condition of the church. Perhaps people in the church may not be well. Sicknesses, terminal illnesses, diseases such as COVID-19, these things have a potential to keep us worried. Paul says we can experience God's peace. We need not worry. There are those things that we cannot change about ourselves. Like I mentioned earlier on, we need not worry about those things. We can experience the peace of God. We can experience victory in Christ. Lastly, if we are not his children, we will not be able to experience this real, lasting, incomprehensible peace from God because we do not belong to him, because we do not have his spirit within us who works out this peace as one of the fruit of the spirit. Yes, it means that worrying will be our portion time and again. Yes, it means anxiety will be our portion time and again. It means that we should not be worried when we fret, when we continually worry about issues and situations. And sometimes worrying can lead to depression, especially over those things that we have no control over. And perhaps we are trying to solve them in our own strength, with our own resources, and we are unable to. It can lead to psychosomatic problems in our lives. Our bodies can begin to react. There's no need for that to happen because the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, is able to give us his peace. Therefore, I challenge you to draw near to him, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Even this morning, even you who are a boy or a girl, perhaps for the very first time, don't say I'm too young. Don't say worrying for me. Okay, I do get worried, but what does God have to do with this regarding me? No, you can draw near to him and experience his salvation, and you will be able to experience the peace of God that is beyond all understanding. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, that you are the source of peace, that the Holy Spirit works out peace to overflowing in the hearts of your people. And so in our time, where our circumstances are sometimes unbearable, so difficult, so hard, when situations around us and even within us cause us to worry, to be anxious, teach us, Lord, to pray. Teach us to pour our petitions before you, to unburden ourselves before you. Teach us to be thankful. Fill our hearts with thankfulness as we unburden ourselves before you. Let this peace, Lord, be the experience of each and every one of your people. Let not COVID-19 lead us to start worrying, to start being anxious about all kinds of things, all kinds of possibilities. Help us to rest in you because you are the source of peace. Peace beyond understanding, you are the one who gives it and actualizes it by the work of the Spirit in our hearts. We bless you, we worship you, we thank you through Jesus our Savior. Amen.